People of God, I want you to know that we have a God who is alive and speaks. Are you hearing me? And the Lord is asking me to tell some of you here, and even following online, He is calling you back. I don't know what that means to some of you, but I know it means a lot. He's calling you back. The Lord is saying, I will rekindle my fire again. You are here hearing me. You are wondering, what is happening to my spiritual life? He says, from today, I will rekindle my glory again. Yes. And it makes sense with today's teaching. We've titled it Favor, Contending for Your Spiritual Life. Contending for your spiritual life. On Sunday, we said, what does it mean to contend? To contend means to strive earnestly for something. We said to contend means to stretch and put yourself under pressure to ensure that something is done. To contend means to fight, to wrestle, and battle with oppositions to any given possibility. And we said to contend means to do everything possible to ensure that a goal is met. I know I'm fast, but I'm just repeating what was taught on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Let me go over it again. We said to contend means to strive earnestly for something, to stretch and put yourself under pressure to ensure that something is done. Then we said to contend means to fight, to wrestle, and battle with oppositions to any given possibility. And then we said to contend means to do everything possible to ensure that a goal is met. Glory! Amen. Then we said, why do we contend? And the very first reason we said was we contend to birth a change. We said that things don't change with time. If you don't contend, things will remain the way they are. And in fact, if you don't even contend, things can get worse. Are you following what I'm saying? Things can get worse. You know, from the airport this morning with Pastor Ernie, I was sharing with them something. I said, if you're supposed to resume at work by 7 a.m. and you have a 40 clock, and maybe you are in sleeping in a room. You know those rooms where the day can break and you don't know. Because of the way the curtain is. Everywhere, you still think everywhere is dark. And you are depending on that 40 clock. It may be past 7 or almost 7:30, but your clock is saying past 5. So you say, no, I still have 1 hour to sleep. And then by the time you are ready and you get to the office, you go to the office by 9. You see, that's how many people's lives are. And the Holy Ghost opened my eyes to see that many people ought to be contending right now. I give a simple example. I look back over my life and I'm grateful I did some things when I did them. I'm grateful. And I'm also praying that I did not do some things when the Lord was asking me to do those things. Are you with me? Tell me about content. And now I've come to also say, the very first thing we must contend for is our spiritual lives. The very first thing we must contend for is our spiritual life. I see that the Lord, Satan has looked at many people here and he has done everything to cut short your spiritual life. You know what I'm talking about. And by the end of this service, there will be restoration. If you want to define a spiritual life, in simple terms, it is your vital connection with the Lord. Your vital connection. There's a reason I'm using those terms, your vital connection. I did not say your legal connection, your vital connection. So for instance, when you have a child or as a parent, you can be the child of your father or your mother, but at the same time, it looks like you're not their child. Let me give an example. So even though there are some of you here, okay, let me assume they are not here, but there are some people, they have a father They have a mother, but there is no connection. Like, they don't have any bond at all. The only thing that is on ground that is showing that I'm connected to is either the surname or genotype. Are you with me? Or DNA. Apart from that, say daddy and mommy, there's a connection between me and my... If you see the two of them on the road, they can walk past each other and it will be as though they were... Are you following what I'm saying? That's vital connection. Okay, it is true by biology, I am your son. But do we have a vital connection to each other? So your spiritual life as a Christian is that vital connection. You can be born again, but you don't have that. I'm telling you, there are people who are genuinely born again, but they have no Christian, no spiritual or vital connection to the Lord. They are just roaming around and they know. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? It is the lifeblood for every other thing in our lives. Let me tell you, see, I know what I'm saying. It's possible to have all the Christian calisthenics. You have the language. Oh, God bless you. Come on, glory. Are you with me? You have all the outward drama, but inwardly, you know you are drying up. Are you getting me? You know you are drying up and thinning down. And God has sent me to restore us. Amen. You know, some years ago, a pastor sat with me. A pastor, he has pastored many years, done ministry many years ahead, and he was asking me a question. So what drew him to me, or what drew me to him was, he said, so his church is not too far from where our church is in Port Harcourt. So he came one day and was looking at me. He said, I like the way you teach. You don't teach like you're a young minister. You teach like you've had some dealings with God. I said, well, by the grace of God, I have some dealings with God. I want to talk to you. So we sat in the office and we began to talk. He asked me one question. He said, what do you think about ministers that fall into sin? I said, what do you mean by fall into sin? We make mistakes. He said, I mean, sexual related sins and all of that. I said, let me tell you the problem. The problem was not when the sin was found out. Let me tell you where the problem started from. The problem started from when their vital relationship with God dried up. Eh? And after a long time, they now faced a temptation that they thought they had the power to overcome. Are you with me? Even in physical and biological health, if you stop eating well, it will not show immediately. Your white blood cells and your red blood cells that are responsible for fighting all those bacteria and all of that, it can be weakened and you will not know until when one small mosquito bites you. Then the very thing that you could just wave off, all of a sudden, that small thing just breaks you down. In the same way, is that way spiritually. Are you following me? Your vital connection to the Lord. Your vital connection. In the Bible, one of the very first laws we see in the book of Genesis is the law of atmospheres. Every creation must stay in the atmosphere from where it was created from. Some of you know this, right? Every creation must stay in the atmosphere from where it was created from. So, God wanted to create fishes. He spoke to the water. And if you remove a fish out of water, it will begin to die. In fact, when you bring the fish and put it on land, the way it's been moving, it is already showing you that I can't stay here. Are you getting me? If you remove plants from the ground, when God wanted to make trees and plants, he spoke to the earth. If you remove plants from the earth, remove them from the ground, it's just a matter of time, they will die. It will be withered. If you remove birds from the sky and keep them on the ground longer than they ought to be, after a while, they will wither. They will die. Are you following this? If we take animals that are meant to stay on the ground and take them to the sky and keep them, after a while, they will drop dead. Now, think about it. When God wanted to create the fishes, like I said, he spoke to the water, right? When he wanted to create the plants, he spoke to the ground, right? When he wanted to create the birds, he spoke to the sky. But when he wanted to create man, he spoke to himself. Are you with me? He wanted to create man. He said, let us. So it was out of himself he brought forth man. You know, when you study the book of Genesis, you will discover that there is a difference between the creation of man and the formation of man. Man was created from the Spirit of God, from the breath of life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. And if you read to verse 27, it says, male and female made he them. So, he had finished man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible now says, and God formed man from the dust of the ground. The forming of man was his casing. Are you with me? His body and all of that. And the Bible says, he breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. What was that breath? What was created in chapter 1? Are you getting me? So, the real creation of man is that living spirit and soul that was created in chapter 1 that was breathed into Adam in chapter 2. Are you following me? So, that means our atmosphere is God. Are you with me? Our atmosphere is God. If they can remove you from the Lord and you survive, there is a problem. Are you getting this? And so, just the same way when you remove an animal or a creation from its atmosphere, it begins to die. The devil knew that the only way to get man is to put him at variance with God. The only way to get a man or to get man is to put him at variance with God. And he will begin to die. All the depravity we see on the earth today is just an example of what happens when men are taken away from God. They are dead though. What we call sin is the outflow of dead men. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Satan knew that the only way to destroy mankind is to pull him out of God's atmosphere. Listen, if your spiritual life is dying, everything is dying, but you just don't know. It's not just obvious. In the same way, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit God did not ask them to eat of, or God asked them not to eat of, they began to die. It's just that they were still moving around. God was gracious and kind for them to see that they were naked, to know that something was wrong. But by the time they ate that fruit, they began to die. If your spiritual life is dying, everything is dying. It's just not obvious. Are you getting me? If your spiritual life is dying, everything is dying. It is not just obvious. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Am I talking to you? This thing is important. There are some of us. We cannot remember the last time we sat down in a place and prayed and worshiped God alone. Let me tell you what that means. It means you're under attack. Did you hear what I said? There are some of you, you can, sometimes you can even feel that stirring to just see, yeah, Satan has worked hard though, this generation. How I knew that Satan has gone really far was one day recently. After the anniversary, when I came to Abuja, my wife and daughter had not joined me immediately. So I was alone in the house and had a stirring to just put off my phone and prostrate before the Lord. And I was playing a song by Michael Smith. And I prayed. When I began to cry, I realized how that it is so easy to be distracted. I realized that, this was something I used to do every day. Some more than 10, 15 years ago. I'm like, that means we have become distracted. We're so distracted we don't even know. There are some of us, you can literally feel God saying, seek a quiet place. I want to talk to you. Seek a quiet place. I want to talk to you. But all around them, there is no quiet place. Are you getting me? Some of them, even if the place is quiet, inside them is noisy. There is that thing the old Christians used to call quiet time. Quiet time. You know, sometimes when I think about our devotions, our online devotions, see, I'm an advocate of us pulling our online devotions very greatly. But sometimes I just feel like
even if the devotion did not work that day, you're supposed to have a quiet time devotion. Even if it doesn't happen in the morning, during your day, can't God just steal some of your attention? 5 minutes, 5 minutes. When last, you know, in our house, one of the days, Victor and I saw and his wife, they just came to spend time with me and my wife. And while we're watching something online, we're just watching something on YouTube. And I said, please, can we just spend a few minutes? Just pray with me. Let us pray and worship. So we prayed in tongues. Now, I was not trying to hold a devotion. Are you getting me? I said, let's just pray and just worship. And so we prayed in tongues for about 25 minutes. Then I put a keyboard. I can't have a house without a keyboard. So I put a keyboard and we began to worship. By the time we were done with that prayer and worship, we had spent almost 1 hour. I said, this is almost a full-fledged evening devotional. Are you getting me? Tell your neighbor, where is your spiritual life? There are some people, God is asking them the way he asked Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? God is asking them, where are you? And let me tell you, this is the first and most important thing you must contend for. Remember on Sunday we said one of the reasons that we must contend is because there are forces that are bent on keeping you down if you don't contend. See, if you want to know how valuable your spiritual life is, find out why is there so much contention about it? Why is there so much distraction, even on social media? Why is there so much attack on church? Something happened recently. The Olu of Warri was at this Elevate Africa conference. Davido, or David Adeleke, popularly known as Davido, the famous secular musician, came and knelt down for the Olu of Warri, and people were saying, wow, this is a sign of humility. This is a sign of loyalty. He understands the Yoruba tradition. Somebody now commented and said, if this was a pastor that he knelt down to, Twitter or X will not rest. I don't like that name, X. He's wrong. He's just wrong. Twitter will not rest. Every day, Daniel Ajebo is talking against church. Every day. My question is, if the church is useless, oh yeah, leave us, leave them alone now. They don't mean anything, so ignore them. But no. Okay, the church is a distraction. Oh yeah, if it's a distraction, what do you do to distractions? Ignore it, right? Ignore it, but they will not ignore it though. They are fueled by the devil. I have freedom of speech, Abby. They are fueled by the devil to keep on attacking and attacking and attacking. My question is, if the church is not so valuable, why is there so much attack? Let me tell you, all your friends on social media that do not take spiritual things serious, I pity them. In fact, anybody you know in your life that is not seriously spiritual, pity them. I'm telling you. See, even the people that are speaking against the church and speaking against spirituality, some of them are even more spiritual than you. I was telling them, it's a popular thing. I was telling them in the car. Very dark man. Wait now. Wait. Very dark man spoke against a prophet that was selling miracle soap or miracle water. And that was, of course, I get his point. Those things are not Christianity. Are you with me? Jesus never sold stuff like that. So that's not the Bible. So he has all the rights to speak against that. But people now went further and saying, don't mind them. Don't mind all the churches. Churches are like this. Churches are like that. See, and it looked like as though he's not a spiritual person. When he was called by the government for questioning, he carried his native doctor physically. Like this man, he carried a babalawo with chalk on the eye. They dressed in red and white. This man came with cowries. physically and you are playing. They are having you that you are speaking in tongues. What does it even mean? You are saying rubbish. No. The people that are having you are maybe more spiritual than you. They may be more spiritual than you. You are following them to argue. See, there are some arguments that I used to answer them. Even the attire he wore that day. The way they dressed. The way the native doctor dressed. You know they did not come to play. Somebody said, you're just skit. I said, it's a liar. This is not skit. This thing is not skit. I know a jazz man when I see him. That thing, it was not skit now. Bare chest. Bare chested. Satan, eh? You know, I was... By the grace of God, I started walking in the Lord very early. So there are many things that most young people did that I did not do. For instance, I've never watched a series in my life. Like, I've never followed a series, like a movie series, from the beginning to the end. Never. It's unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable, but I tried to follow one recently, but I did not finish. I gave up halfway. I've been hearing of the great Merlin. So I tried to follow that old Merlin. I'm so late, right? Like I'm more than 10 years or 15 years behind. So I tried. And while I was watching it, trust me, I'm seeing an acting. I was watching it and I paused. I said, see. I told everybody with me, I said, anybody that wrote the script for this thing knows the spirit realm very well. They know the spirit realm very well. It's not fiction. That thing they wrote, those things they were doing, that thing is not fiction. I know the spirit realm too much to tell you that thing is fiction. It's not fiction. I believe some of those things were true life stories. I want to mention something. I now look at his pastor preaching season in church. There was a particular season where there was a lady who, anytime she saw Merlin, she would scream. That's the same way demons scream when a man of God is around. Some of you have forgotten. She would just scream. Energy, she would just scream. When I saw that thing, I said, ah, God, God, God. These people, eh? Tell your neighbor, stop playing with your spiritual life. Stop playing. So, as busy as I am, after squeezing time, I could not watch. I gave up. I said, which kind does not have ending? In one season, episode one, episode two, three, episode four. I said, wait, you know they finish 40 minutes, 45 minutes. 40. I just said, I'm not doing again. I give up. They were all laughing. They said, we know, Pastor, now you. So tell your neighbor, contend for your spiritual life. Think about the times you are living in. All kinds of distractions. Emotional distractions. Let me tell you, even spiritual emotional blackmail is part of the devil's strategy to keep you down. Oh, I've not been praying for a while. God has forgotten about me. God does not take me serious again. That's part of the distraction. That's part of the distraction. That time you are saying, that 3-4 minutes you are saying, God does not take me serious again. My spiritual life is going down. Oh, yeah, start praying. That time you are saying my spiritual life is going down. You can stop making it go up. Are you what I'm saying? No, gone are those days where I used to allow beat myself. Okay, I missed the prayer time, Abby. Oh, I missed it. Before I would start saying, Kai, why am I like this? I will now spend like 2 hours. Why am I like this? That 2 hours, I can use it to ascend. Even that is a distraction. Think about scriptures like, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So question, how have you been living? You will see people. No, just imagine, have you eaten today? If you haven't today, raise your hand. If you have not eaten this week, raise your hand. Please, I want to see spiritual men and women here. If you have not eaten this week, I want to see people who have been doing stretch fast. Raise your hand. But we have Christians that can go week in, week out no Bible, no sermon, no teaching. Worst of all, some of them will still miss church. Eh? They will not be in church, no word of God in their spirits, nothing. Then you wonder why your spiritual life is going through spiritual epilepsy. Small arrow, small demon with just bite you in the spirit. Yeah, yeah, wake up. I'm like this. So, no, why all the spiritual red blood cells gone? All the spiritual white blood cells finished. Nothing. Nothing. Some people, they are not even a threat to the smallest of demons. They are not a threat. Satan does not even bother attacking them because one day they were casting out demons in school. A pastor now came to cast at the demon. You know what the demon did? The demon laughed and said, let me face serious people first. The demon laughed and said, see, the people that can cast me, shift first. Just imagine. Just imagine. There are people who the devil knows there is no need attacking them. Their own spiritual inadequacy is enough attack on them. Take what I'm saying serious. Say after me, I will contend for my spiritual life. 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 Glory! Let me tell you, you don't grow above this. No matter how high you get in the spirit, you don't outgrow these things. Yesterday on Midnight Encounter, I said, fathers in the faith are the ones who will never outgrow the basics. You know, people in many disciplines, there's a level you reach, you are now bigger than the small, small principles. It's for small boys. See, the fathers of the faith are the ones that do not outgrow the basics. Ken Hagin said, I have read the New Testament back to back 150 times. Eh? I have read the New Testament. This was when he was in his late 50s. I have read the New Testament back to back 150 times. I believe in my personal experience, there is a level of strength that comes from just reading the Bible. Just by reading the Bible. That's why I will encourage you, if you can, get a hard copy Bible and a hard copy notepad. If you can. You know, something happened today. Pastor Annie told me, Pastor, I have a surprise for you in church. So, I was wondering, what's the surprise? While we are coming to church, a flash. I said, Pastor Eni, the surprise is that you have bought some new chairs, right? Pastor Eni and Pastor Jomana said, Holy Ghost, the cast person. Holy Ghost, the cast. I said, wait, did you buy any red chair? Because all I'm seeing is blue, blue, blue. Pastor Eni said, it's no more a surprise. Although I was surprised to see the logo on the chairs. At least that's a surprise, right? There are many things I found out in my spiritual journey, not because I was trying to. Teacher. Some of you know Teacher Oshawa, right? That man of God I respect too much. He stays around here. After my wedding, I was planning to come and stay with him. I was talking to him on the phone. I began to describe his house. I said, I'm seeing two doors face each other this way. Then there's a bathroom in between here and here. He said, Woli. That's what he said. Woli, oh, David. I was not trying to see a vision. I was not pressing into a dimension. I was not, you know, many of the things we even call pressing into dimensions. Some it is people that, I don't want to talk. I don't want to say some things. Many times, people don't want a consistent, organized, orderly relationship with God. I'm looking for how to say that will not sound wrong. How will not sound wrong? The average, there's a move of among many young people. An average young Christian, he's not even thinking about working with God. He's just to press into dimensions. Okay, the dimension is for what? When you get the dimensions, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But I discovered if you walk with God intentionally.
Eh? Many things people are calling dimensions. It will be your normal lifestyle. It will be your lifestyle. Praise the Lord. So do I believe in dimensions? Of course. I believe in new realms in God, new dimensions in God for one major reason, for greater service. For greater service. Are you with me? To bring greater witness of Christ. But for the sake of, I want to enter a realm where I will just teleport. Eh? Okay, teleport. Are you Philip? Holy Ghost has been telling you, preach to the person next door. He said no. Philip preached to was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. That was how he began to teleport to. You, your back door neighbor, you never preached around finish. You won't teleport. Don't worry. Evangelism. Oh my God. David, don't fight. Praise the Lord. So quickly, how do you contend for your spiritual life? Number one, adjust your perspective. I think this is the most important point. Adjust your perspective. That's how to fight for your spiritual life. Number one, you must see your spiritual life as your most treasured asset. You must see your vital connection with the Lord as a treasure of inestimable value. Praise the Lord. I sense in the spirit, New Breed Christian Community, we ought to enter a new level of prayer movement, which will usher us into an explosion. Who can sense that New Breed Christian Community, we're about to enter a new level of explosion? Let me see your hand. Some of you can sense what I'm talking about. Like, not just for the sake of saying it, you can sense it in the spirit, right? I feel in the spirit God is calling us to more. There is more. There is more. There is more. And this more will come by staying with the Lord. Well, adjust the perspective. I want to say it here. If you don't have time for God, if you don't have time to pray, it's not a time issue. It's an issue of priority. Hey, God. It's an issue of what? Priority. Something happened in Abuja that really got my attention to this. So, you know the whole fuel issue going on. And so, we wanted to go and check on something. But my car, ministry car, was empty, no fuel. So, I and Adaiso, we said, you know what? Before we go to that place, we must go and get fuel. Listen, we must go and get fuel. As I was saying it, I said, Kai, how dare we step out without fuel? Nobody drives an empty tank. Your tank is showing you red, not reserve. Your tank is on red and you are still driving. Something must be wrong with you. You know that you have to go to the filling station and put some fuel before you drive that car. Then there are people that you wake up in the morning, you know you are on red. You know your spiritual life is on red, but you still wear clothes. And you are going. Like, don't you know it's a risk? At least, even if it's shabarab. Even if it's like, God help me. Lord, I'm going out. Just help me. Midnight, you know, pray. 3 o'clock, you woke up, you did not pray. 5 o'clock, the sleep was still sweet. You woke up, but did not pray. Okay, now it's 7:30, 8 o'clock, you are rushing to work. At least God help me. At least that one is still prayer. But no, it still went on. Then, later in the day, you are just wondering, why am I just angry? Your boss is shouting at you. Things are just going upside down. You do something, this one falls here. At the point, you're wondering, why is everything just disconnected? Why am I like this? Your fuel tank is on red. And if you're not careful, you may knock that engine. In fact, one major sign to know that your engine is beginning to have problems, when you start having desires, wrong desires. So your engine starts malfunctioning. Temptations that before you will look at and you easily remove your eye. Now you're like, makes sense. No, your barometer is wrong. Are you getting me?
I know I'm sounding harsh. I may be sounding tough on some people, but listen, I want to help you. Let me show you something. This is Jesus speaking. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 14 to 18. Jesus says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He says in verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Listen, see verse 17. Jesus is talking in verse 17. This is scary. Jesus says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched." That means you cannot gauge your spiritual vitality by your amount, by the money in your account. Your financial status is not the right proof of where you are spiritually. He says, "Because thou said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and what?" This is Jesus' perspective to a person who is spiritually lukewarm. He's saying that if you are spiritually lukewarm, it doesn't matter if you have 2 billion in your account. Eh? If you are spiritually lukewarm. So I want to ask you, between what you think and what Jesus thinks, who is correct? Who is correct? Between our own analysis and between Jesus' analysis, who is correct? Is Jesus more correct than us? Please answer me. Is Jesus more correct than us? What we call valuable, is Jesus more correct than us? What we call special, is Jesus more correct than us? He's saying you can have money, but if you are spiritually lukewarm, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. Look at, how can Jesus, this is his perspective. How can we look at this and ignore it? You know, my plan is not to be a great preacher. My plan is to be God's mouthpiece. Did you hear what I said? I made up my mind that let it be, that people will see, if you want to hear the mind of God, go to him. In my little way, in my short time of ministry, God has made it so. I've seen people who left, like they left New Breed and came back. Like they came back and said, "See, those messages that you were teaching, give us back again." One of the parents for someone who attends our Abuja church, she told the daughter, "Said, tell Pastor David, I listen to him every day." What I just said is difficult to say, oh, this thing. Especially when you now start pastoring billionaires. Glory. And you know, when I'm pastoring billionaires, I have to gather myself to say what I just said. Where is your spiritual life? Adjust your perspective. Jesus now says in the next verse, in verse 18, he says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white and have a white raiment, and that you will be clothed." That means until you get the spiritual fire of the spirit and you are burning, you don't have the real gold. This thing is serious, though. This thing is serious. You know, a pastor said something, and please, I'm not saying it to shoot anybody. We are living in a day where I was asking myself, how many followers does Beyonce have on Instagram? If you check, she has almost, as at the last time I checked, that was a long time ago, she had like 150 million followers. That's a country. That's a nation. That's an entire country. But for the fact you have millions of followers does not mean God is following. So, you can look at that and think that is a validation. That does not mean God is following.
that does not mean that it is approved by God. That you have verified does not mean God has verified you. I'm saying this thing because we're living in a generation, if you're not careful, for instance, every celebrity, even the ones that don't believe in God, will just put God's favor right. Even, there's something the Holy Ghost has been showing me recently, which I've been gathering the energy to say. It has not been easy, but I have to say it. He said, tell my children there is something called the attire of a harlot. There is something called the attire of a... Right now, a lady's most dresses on Instagram is not correct until breast. If breast is not opened, it's not complete. You must... They must... Cleavage itself, you are still a good Christian. They must... Every celebrity, God's go and check. They must have at least 10 pictures showing... I don't want to say something. I would have said something to you. People will be angry. Even the one with everybody no gets good issue. Sorry. I can't sell thee. You need to know what is filthy and spit it out. You need to know what God calls gold and embrace it. Are you following me? Number two, be intentional about your spiritual life. Be intentional. Don't take chances. Because the devil we are dealing with is also serious. This is not a game. This is serious. Follow the word of God seriously. See, this is one of the things our fathers of faith had. That God is just help us. When they say, pay your tithes, they are not, those guys are serious. Are you with me? They take it serious. Honor the Lord. We're having a spiritual convention. Remember your parents, though, we drag you. This convention, pastor said we must not miss it. We're all going. Bam, bam. Then, Gen Z, actually. There's nothing wrong with Gen Z. Praise the Lord. But we have some people. Must I go? Must me actually go? And we call it a spiritual gathering. You now see people who Babalawo will send for them. They'll say, sir. Babalawo will tell them, 11:42. Be standing with 8 cowries. And the middle intestine of a 2-year-old goat. They will be there. They will be there. Be intentional about your spiritual life. David said in Psalm 63 from verse 1, he says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Some of you, where is your thirst? Where is your thirst? Then in verse 8, he says, my soul followeth hard after thee. You know, I keep making reference to, we're talking about Bishop Willie, his birthday that was celebrated. There are too many things to learn from that man. When a man says, what God cannot give me, may I never have. Hey, do you know what that means? Where God can never take me, may I never go. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Some people cannot handle the level of, you are complaining about Rolls Royce. Can you handle the level of resources he has and still be coming for covenant hour of prayer every morning? Like every morning, you come 5 a.m., you will see that human being. That man will be there praying with that kind of money. Some of you, in fact, I don't know what to say. You know, there are some things we hear. God, when God lifts some people, just ask God why. I believe God lifted Bishop for one major reason, to give our generation a standing example. You have 5 private jets. For the past 5 years, you've not stepped out of Nigeria because you said, God said I should not leave. That man has a diplomatic passport. He can land in any country. You don't understand. You don't understand what I'm saying. He can wake up and say, today I want to just go to Mauritius. Oh, I feel it in my spirit. This is where I want to go. And here we go. Jesus. Then he did not travel. Some people, you say what? When people used to tell me, you used to shout like Bishop David, I say, yes, it's correct, it's true. I'm like, I agree.
Praise the Lord. Look at Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, the devil has planned to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. Not said, he did not say, we will think about it. He told him what he has done. Intentionality. Intentionality. Be intentional. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Are you following me? Are you following me? Ask yourself, what kind of diligence have I put in following God? He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that he is. You must believe that you are dealing with God. You must know that this is God here. And I must give him the attention that he deserves. I must give him the attention that he deserves. We are living in a very... See, in our day, just let the governor of this state send for you. Your mother will call you by 10 p.m. Where are you? Say, I am with the governor. Say, don't worry. Stay there till midnight. Be there. Now, am I advocating for us not keeping to time? We will keep to time. We will try our best. But we are living in a day. You treat God like a football. You toss God around. Are you with me? And God, my biggest revelation of God is that God is humble. God is full of humility. He will toss him around. He will still come and wake you up in the night to pray. You will not be serious about spiritual things. You toss him around. He says, give. You say, no. You do like this. No. Serve. Don't. No. But God is still there, patient. And he's the one that created you. If it was you and you created something, you say, well, die. You're present like ant. Oh, you don't know who your God is. Disappear. You will do like Thanos. You will take the five rings like this. Disappear. You don't. I am inevitable. Be intentional. Let God know that this guy takes me serious. This one is serious. When you get to this point, that's when God starts dealing with you seriously. For instance, I remember when God had to tell me, stop playing games. Many years ago, he said, stop playing games. If you follow me, and you follow me seriously, I will take care of you. If I've said, do this, you do it. So I started obeying him like that. Now, there are some covenants. I remember when the Lord told me, he said, from this time henceforth, I will not allow you to work in a secular job again, but I will take care of you. I said, yes, sir. He said, anywhere I tell you to go, you will go. So, there are some testimonies that we share. You may say, what's he saying? Because of some covenants that I've caught with the Lord. Since the Lord called me and I went full time, I've never been stranded once. All I need to do is to cry. No, all I need to do is to cry. Just say, God! God! Something will happen. When I moved to Abuja, after a while, my legs were shaking. I was like, God, now that I've come, what about my car? He said, move your car down. I said, yes, sir. I said, okay, now I'm moving my car down. What about, which car will my wife and daughter use? He said, I've heard you. The next day, that car is my wife driving. The next day, that's when he came. He said, I've heard you. That's all, I've heard you. You want to do business with God in deep waters, or do you want to just be taking God kalo kalo? Are you with me? Number three, know your distractions and start dealing with them. Phone. Put off that phone sometimes. Put it off. You have made all the calls. You have checked everything on Instagram. You've checked everything on WhatsApp. When you know that your phone is a problem, is when you put up your phone and put it beside you. And while you're walking, just tap it. You discover it's off. So I've become addicted. You just tap it. Not for anything, just to tap. Phone. Jesus answered and said, Martha, you are encumbered by many things. But one thing is needful. Luke chapter 10, verse 41 to 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She has chosen that good part. Now, I want you to see something in verse 42. When it says, she has chosen that good part, which cannot be taken away from her. That means, the good part of listening to Jesus
can be taken away from you. Please, are you following me? He says, what wanting is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That means he's saying that the good part of listening to Jesus can be taken away. It can be taken away. You can miss it. Satan can distract it. Hey, I know what I'm saying. Just say you want to pray by 3. 3 o'clock, something will just come. One very, very serious thing will just come. Okay, I'll pray by 3:30. 3:30, one thing will just arise. Your mother will just call you. Chinyere! Then when you are done, say, I'll pray by 5. 5, I will just. Then 5, your dad comes in and says, please, I want to see you. Then by 7, you will not discover that prayer by 3 may hold by 9:30. And that is, you have to contend to make it happen. No? That 9:30 on, you will contend. When you want to fast, your friend will just call you. I'm bringing pizza and ice cream to the house. Will you be around? Let's just have a ladies' time out. Like, Lord. Okay, I can eat this one then. Would now do another one. Know your distractions and deal with them. I want to also say another thing. Your emotions can distract you. I talked about it a little bit. Sometimes the way you feel, you wake up in the night. How many of you experience this thing? Don't raise your hand. Just laugh. How many of you have been following me now? I count the points. By the time you see 10:30, you're angry. Like, oh. So it's just 30 minutes remaining. Then it's 11 o'clock. You're like, ah, we are here again. You're just angry. Like, we are here 11 o'clock to pray again. Your emotions can distract you. By the time you just see it's time for devotion, you just put in the link like this. Like, what is this now? What is this? You just started mixing that room. After a while, it's not working. Mixing that room is not working. It's not working. Your emotions. You know what is happening there? The question is, do you want to pray? Yes. Do you love God? Yes. But why are you feeling that way? Satan is playing on your emotions. That's what you're not seeing. He's making you feel like this thing that you love is like a stress to you. You will now have to start telling yourself, it is something you will do for a long time. No, I love the presence of God. No. See, are you getting what I'm saying? It happens to everybody, even the greatest of men of God. What makes them great is that they've learned how to subdue it again and again, again and again, again and again. As long as you are in this flesh, the devil will keep on making what you need look like the most difficult thing. The things that will move you forward, the things that you need the most, Satan will make those things, paint those things like those are the most difficult, the most dreaded things, the most tiresome things. That's how 2024 can go. A person will not even pray and fast for 3 days on his own. That's how 2024 can go. He will not read a single book. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the devil knows that this thing will move you forward. He will manipulate your emotions against it. A time can even come. It can even go further. The person that is discipling you, your pastor, he can make you dislike your pastor. Very true. The person that you know that this is the one God sends to me, he will just start making Pastor David. Man. See his square four corner head. Praise the Lord. Know your distractions. Sometimes, relationship, emotional relationship, kini can distract you. Oh, I was in that boat too. There was a time in my life, Lord, is it this lady? Is it that lady? One day I say, come, it is God. It's not anybody. Enough is enough. Is it this brother? Is it not this brother? Leave them alone and face God. Are you with me? Are you with me? And at different stages of your life, there will be different things. Sometimes it will be your challenge. It will be money. It will be a job. Are you getting me? Sometimes it will be a job. It will be money. Sometimes it will be children. I'm a pastor. I know what I'm saying. I know people who, they start going to church because God did not give them children. For you now, it's nothing. You know? For you now, it may be nothing. But there are people who, they say, the lady to me, so God will not give me a child. In fact, I'm not praying again. Then at a point in your life, how come my mates are building houses? My mates are buying lands. Lord, when will my own time come? Are you getting what I'm saying? Finally, develop a system and follow it vehemently. Develop a system. In fact, if you have a solid church, 50% of this issue has been solved. It's because you are in a solid church. That's why you are hearing what you are hearing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Develop a system that works and follow it vehemently. Church ministry is a system. Have a prayer system, a Bible reading system, a fasting system, spiritual exercise system, special programs, a system also for your spiritual growth. We don't just have immersion camp or gaze or this one for the sake of having meetings. No. It's designed that, okay, there has to be some time where you clear your schedule and say, I want to focus on my spiritual life. Think about your cars. Every 3 to 4 months, your car goes for servicing, right? You go and change the oil. You change the brake pad. You change the leaking exhaust. If you don't do that, one day, if you are driving a car that God has not properly helped, you can just do like this on the road. You let your come out like this. I know what I'm saying. You don't change the brake pad first. You can run into an accident. You are matching brake. They say it's brake failure. You will match the brake. The brake is not, the car is just moving. People that drive know what I'm talking about, right? If you're not careful, or if the car knocks on the road, that stress that you are avoiding, that thing that you don't want to do, you will do it by force. By force, you will service that car. And worst of all, let's not knock the engine in a way that you now have to buy a new engine. You're not asking yourself, 25 liters oil would have saved me this wahala. So develop a system. Also, eliminate associations that water down your spiritual effectiveness. Eliminate the wrong associations. Eliminate the wrong associations. You say, he's my tight friend. Your tight friend that you cannot pray with, there's a problem. Are you with me? Oh, pastor, they want to influence me. Eh? No, influence them. No, all those things, they want to influence me. You can't influence me. I will influence you. No. No. When I went to the university, in my 100 level, half of my floor, Peter Hall, D200 floor, Peter Hall, Covenant University, half of that floor, they told me that my floor mates used to smoke. They told me that my floor mates were, many of them, they used to watch porn. I said, my floor mates, I said, really? Okay. I said, I will become the floor chaplain. After one semester, they called that floor Shiloh. Because evening devotion was from 10 o'clock to 10:30. Our own is 10 o'clock to 12 midnight. After a while, other students will come to that floor and they will come and be praying and be crying. I said, yes, that's right. At a point, my room was called School of the Spirit. Because all those boys that I said, anybody that did not change under me in that floor, that one, even God self tried. No, because there were many of them. Many of them are still on fire till today. I mean till today. Some of them still call me pastor till today as we are talking. Because they will come to the room and pray and pray and pray. Some of them will be healed. When this one is sick, they go and lie on Pastor David's bed. After a while, the people that they were saying will influence me, I influenced all of them. A time that came in chapel service, I don't know if they still do it, where when the people sit together in departments for attendance sake, when you see mechanical engineering 100 level praying, you know that. One day, somebody asked me, why is it that everybody in this mechanical engineering department, they used to pray with fire? I said, yeah. They say, see him there. It's David, that's the root cause. At the point, my classmates knew that we're in class. One of our classmates was under the power of demons. Inside tribology class, we're learning tribology. You boys are misbehaving. I said, wait. Take it! Inside class. Everybody said, we are going. Let's leave David. We are going. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jump on your feet.